in my body, etched in my perception. That's where my body knows it's going to go every year during this week in November. So I hope that in the future that will happen again. You don't know. We don't know, but I'm hoping that that'll happen again. But for now, we have this moment. And this is the best moment, right? This is the moment we've always got, and it's always the best. And even though I'm in Canada, I guess all of you know that in that big, odd country to the south of us, we just had an election. It was a very trying election. And the result has been the cause of some relief and happiness for many of us, although there's some shenanigans still going on and some denial that it all happened, but denial is always part of the process. Really, I don't think it's natural for human beings to be spending so much time obsessing over the government. It is not really a good way to live. Life is so much happier when you do not have to do that, when you can pay attention, actually, to what's in front of you. But we still have way too many human problems, and we have this possibility that we call a democracy, which does require that citizens stay involved with public life, all of which makes you really, really, really appreciate Sesshin. When that's the only thing you can do is to pay full attention to everything, starting with breathing and the body, sitting still and moving and walking and eating meals prepared carefully and cleaning up. What a great relief and what a pleasure. Here in the Bay Area, we had our local session just about a week ago. We actually ended a day or so before the election, and boy, did everybody appreciate that, not to have to hear that last week's worth of screaming and yelling. That was good, and most of us voted early, so that was out of the way for us. I know you're in practice period, and so are we. We've been studying the Lotus Sutra, a text that is so important for Dogen and for all of Japanese Buddhism. Although it might not be so apparent at first, the Lotus Sutra is actually the foundation stone of our practice. Did you ever notice that our meal chant gives the names of the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, and then all of a sudden at the end it says the Lotus Sutra, as if it were one of the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas? And that's because the Lotus Sutra is so important. It's like one of the Buddhas in our lineage. Opinions differ on this particular point, but in my opinion, the Lotus Sutra is a content-free sutra. There actually is no Lotus Sutra. In fact, the entirety of the Lotus Sutra is an expression of the spiritual history and the spiritual significance of the Lotus Sutra. Over and over again, the sutra is showing fantastic scenes and making fantastic expressions of its own importance and its own centrality. And it includes, as probably many of you know, seven really famous parables, all of which, in different ways, are to indicate that all the other teachings of the Buddha are just preliminary, skillful means to prepare us for this one true teaching, which the sutra actually never seems to give. Well, doesn't that seem familiar to to us Zen students. Isn't that just sound just like Zen? The most important teaching which nobody ever can give? And it really is like Zen. And isn't that what we love so much about our practice? It doesn't tell you what to think. It doesn't tell you what you're supposed to believe. It doesn't tell you how you're supposed to see the world. As a matter of fact, quite the opposite. It wants to take away from you all your preconceived ideas and opinions and beliefs and views and leave you with the one reliable truth of your existence, which cannot be taught in a sutra. It can only ever be lived. And that's our job in Sesshin and in our practice all the time, to live this one true life that has been miraculously given to us, this one true life that we are expressing all the time, and yet we can never explain it or even ever fully grasp it. Now I thought I would quote for you a few of Dogen's short poetic Dharma discourses. You know, we always read Shobogenzo, but we usually don't read the Eihei Koroku and other Dogen texts, which are collections of his short formal poetic Dharma talks that he gave to his disciples in his monastery. So I want to read a few of these. They're very short, and they're translated by Taigen Leighton and Shohaku Okamura in their version of the Eihei Koroku. And this is, they're numbered, and this is talk number 69. Today, this mountain monk himself, Dogen, gives a Dharma Hall discourse for the assembly. What I have just said, I offer to all the three treasures in the 10 directions, to the 28 ancestors in India, to the 6 ancestors in China, to all the nostrils, you know, under heaven, to the eyeballs throughout the past and present, to the dried shit sticks, to 3 pounds of flax, to Zen boards, and to zafus. Previously, we offered incense for the limitless, excellent causal conditions, and we dedicate it so that toads may leap up to the Brahma's heaven, earthworms may traverse the eastern ocean, and clouds and water monks may become horses and cows. All Buddhas, 10 directions, 3 times, all honored ones, bodhisattvas, mahasattvas, wisdom beyond wisdom, maha prajna paramita. And then he got off of his seat, and that was his talk. What an oddball talk, right? He says, I am now offering this Dharma discourse, but just like the Lotus Sutra, he doesn't say anything. He says, I now offer this Dharma discourse, and then he lists a whole bunch of things that he's offering the Dharma discourse to. Nostrils, eyeballs, and so on. That's his talk. Thank you, Dogen. Very helpful. It's a long story, but I will make it very brief. It's a key teaching of the Lotus Sutra. Never explicit, of course, but somehow implied, that there is something special and unforeseen about the earth itself, physical matter itself. You will remember that in the classical story of the Buddha, when he is at the point of awakening and is challenged by Mara, the Buddha touches the earth Likewise, at a very crucial moment in the Lotus Sutra, a great stupa suddenly rises up from the earth, from inside the earth. It rises up. After an earthquake comes, it rises up. And the stupa is opened up, and inside the stupa is sitting a cosmic Buddha. And in another crucial moment in the Lotus Sutra, from beneath the earth, again, beneath the earth, comes out myriad bodhisattvas to preach the Dharma. So this trope of the earth being something very special and very crucial to the project of Buddha Dharma is made in the Lotus Sutra and elsewhere. So we say, you know, and we know it's true, the earth really literally is our mother. It is the source of our physicality. And in Buddhism, physicality is not just dumb stuff that is to be overcome with spirit or intellect. In Buddhism, matter, actual physical stuff, is the spiritual basis. And stuff is so painful, isn't it? You have to carry it around places, you have to pick it up, you have to put it down, you have to clean it, you have to repair it, you have to polish it. And even so, you do all that for many, many years and it wears out anyway. Breaks up and disperses, because that's its nature, impermanence. And if you, like me, and all of us, happen to be made out of stuff, if you are stuff, if you have a body or are a body, so much the worse for you. Consciousness depends on the body. So when the body disappears, the consciousness associated with it also disappears. And yet, the Lotus Sutra is telling us this very body, this very physicality, is not to be overcome and transcended. It is itself the true teaching that the Lotus Sutra espouses but never mentions. This is why in Zen, always, and here in his Dharma Hall discourse, Dogen mentions dried shit sticks, 3 pounds of sesame, zafus, earthworms, toads, horses, cows, because these things express themselves beyond themselves. These things, each and every one of them, is a Buddha, is the living Dharma springing to life in front of our eyes. Here's the very next talk Dogen gave the next day, number 70. As this mountain monk, meaning himself, today gives a Dharma Hall discourse, all Buddhas in the three times also today give a Dharma Hall discourse. The ancestral teachers in all generations also today give a Dharma Hall discourse. The one who bears the 16-foot golden body gives a Dharma Hall discourse. The one endowed with the wondrous function of the 100 grasses gives a Dharma Hall discourse. Already together, having given a Dharma Hall discourse, what Dharma Hall discourse has been expounded? No other Dharma is expressed, but this very Dharma is expressed. What is this Dharma? It is upheld within Shanglong Temple. It is upheld within Guanyin Temple. It is upheld within the Monk's Hall. It is upheld within the Buddha Hall. What Dharma? He never says, right? He never says. He only says that it's the same Dharma expressed again and again and again in the past, and that is lived and expressed by the life of Zen practice. So he means, literally, this is us. When he says it's upheld in these temples, Guanyin Temple and other temples, that's what he means. It's us. When we sit and walk and eat meals, we are also expressing the timeless Dharma, which has no explicit content other than our activity. This wondrous Dharma literally springs to life with our sincere activity and would not be present in this world without it. Okay, one more. This one is Dharma Hall Discourse number 24. In the entire universe, in the 10 directions, there is no Dharma at all that has not yet been expounded by all Buddhas in the three times. Therefore, all Buddhas say, and this is a quotation, in fact, he doesn't say so, but it's in fact from the Lotus Sutra, in the same manner that all Buddhas in the three times expound the Dharma, so now I also will expound the Dharma without differentiations. That's the end of the quotation. Dogen goes on, this great assembly present before me, and I could say the same, you know, this great assembly present before me is also practicing the way in the manner of all Buddhas. Each movement, each stillness is not other than the Dharma of all Buddhas, so do not act carelessly or casually. Although this is the case, I have an expression that has not yet been expounded by any Buddha. Would you like to hear it? He said. And then he paused. It often says, after a pause, he said, and I sometimes think the pause could be like an hour. Right? Would you like to hear it? And then nothing. And after about an hour, he's still sitting there, you know. After about an hour, he says, in the same manner that all Buddhas in the three times expound the Dharma, so now I also will expound the Dharma without differentiations. And he got off his seat, and that was his talk. So the great Dharma that he's going to expound that has never before been expounded was the same quotation from the Lotus Sutra that he had given earlier in his talk. Is this a joke? Well, Dogen, I think, in my opinion, had a pretty good sense of humor, although a strange one from our perspective. So I think it is a joke, but it's not a joke, because Dogen did just make the ancient Dharma absolutely new. He just said what has never been heard before. And we're doing that too. We are actually doing that too. We are making the Dharma that has never before been expressed in just this way become expressed throughout space and time. I mentioned a moment ago the great stupa that comes up from the earth with an ancient Buddha inside. Shakyamuni Buddha, seeing this stupa, goes up to it and is invited inside the stupa to sit next to the ancient Buddha, Prabhutaratana. So he goes inside the stupa and sits down next to him. And this is a very famous image of the Lotus Sutra. Two Buddhas, the stupa hovering in air that has come out of the earth, is hovering there in the middle of air, and the two Buddhas are sitting side by side. And it's such an important moment in the Lotus Sutra, and it echoes a line that has been written earlier in the sutra, a line that we know very well. Only a Buddha and a Buddha can understand the true Dharma. This Dharma, which cannot be expressed, and yet is expressed by the physical world moment by moment, it cannot be understood by someone, but it can be understood and expressed by us together. Only a Buddha and a Buddha. So this image of the two Buddhas sitting side by side is unprecedented in Buddhist literature. It appears only in the Lotus Sutra. And did you know that this is the ancient source for our practice of Shuso? When the teacher says to the Shuso in the entering ceremony, "Please help me. This monastic shares my seat and my responsibility." That's what it means. She shares my seat. This refers to the Lotus Sutra. And in a monastery, when we do practice period, the Shuso at the end of the ceremony is invited to sit in a seat literally next to the teacher. And the two of them are facing out like these two Buddhas in the stupa, facing the assembly during every single period of Zazen and every single meal, and there are many, during the 90-day training period. And the practice of being Shuso is defined by sitting in that seat, sharing that seat. One last point about the Lotus Sutra. There's an episode in the sutra involving great universal wisdom, excellence Buddha. And this Buddha is noteworthy because he has such a hard time attaining awakening. He's sitting there on the Bodhi seat, just at the point of awakening, but he can't do it. He can't get there. It's like it's on the tip of his tongue. He's just about there, but it wouldn't happen. So he just had to keep sitting there. And he sat there without moving, it says in the text, for 10 small kalpas. That's a long time. Finally, he awakened. This story, our Zen ancestors love this story in the Lotus Sutra, and it actually appears as the ninth case in the Mumonkan, the gateless barrier. As is often the case when there are Zen stories that are quoting scriptures, they usually misquote slightly for their own purposes, and you'll see that's the case here too. So I'll read you the story. Once upon a time, a monastic asked Qingzhang, "The Buddha, great universal wisdom, excellence, sat on the Bodhi seat for 10 kalpas, yet he did not manifest the Dharma or attain Buddhahood. Why?" And Qingzhang said, "Good question." And the monk said, "Well, but he sat there for 10 kalpas. Why? Why didn't he attain Buddhahood?" And Qingzhang said, "Because he is an unattained Buddha." The point of the Zen story is that attaining Buddhahood as if Buddhahood were a state of being or mind or knowing or breaking through to something, is messing up Buddhahood. To think there's some Buddhahood apart from your body and your life, on the Bodhi seat or off it, is to make a mess or a mockery of Buddhahood. How could you attain Buddhahood? The word attain and the word Buddhahood couldn't possibly exist in the same sentence. Because the only Buddhahood is non-attained Buddhahood. Because Buddhahood is beyond attaining anything or not attaining anything, just like the physical world is beyond the physical world. And you are beyond you. The teaching given by the ancient Buddhas without differentiation is you. Because you are the teaching of right now. And in session, this is very, very real and very, very palpable. We just do session. Good zazen, bad zazen, pleasant zazen, unpleasant zazen, doing it right, doing it wrong. What's the difference? Mindful, unmindful. What's the difference? Don't look for anything, just practice. And don't even look for that. Don't even think you're practicing. That is exactly Buddhahood beyond differentiation. To let go of all these crazy ideas we have, which we totally take for granted, but they're crazy ideas. Our preferences for this or that. Our loving our good spiritual states and being dissatisfied with our normal states. Just sit in your seat and breathe, and then get up and make lunch. That is called non-attained Buddhahood. That's the practice of Sesshin. You didn't think I could only talk for 28 minutes and 39 seconds, did you? But I did. I did it. Thank you very much. It is so nice to see all of you. I'm so excited, really, that you're doing Sesshin and that you're all there together and not together. Beautiful. And the only thing better than the Loon Lake Sesshin when I'm there, for me, is the Loon Lake Sesshin when I'm not there and you are carrying on so beautifully without me. That is even better for me. Thank you so much. Please take care of yourselves. Good night. I guess I'll go away. I know you're going to chant together, but I'll just disappear. Bye-bye.